Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy for Saturday, November 12th. I am Yvonne Brown, coming to you live on the second Saturday of each month from Chicago, Illinois. It's a pleasure to have you here with us today, and I'm really looking forward to having you on our show. Having a bit of a computer issue here at the moment, but we should be fine in just a moment. Our guest today is Heather Smith. Heather Smith has worked with hundreds of small businesses over the years, and through forensic accounting has identified errors in excess of $250,000. We are really thrilled to have her with us, and we'll be having her join us in just a moment. Let's talk about the show. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I know a little about that myself, as I've had 10 careers. I started as a fashion model, then I was a rock and roll singer, a corporate consultant, an adjunct professor, and today I'm a professional speaker, author, coach, blogger, and radio show host. Let's set the tone for today's program. Don't blame others for your failure to be fully accountable for your own life. If others are to blame, then you have given them control. That's by Bob Perks. Today's show is brought to you by the folks at Budgetpreneur.com. If you find that you have very little money to invest in your business and yet still need to get things done, stop putting those things off. Go to Budgetpreneur.com. They provide the resources and tools to help you manage your business, save money, and increase revenue. Visit www.budgetpreneur.com and become a member today. So let's get started. One thing, by the way. If you're listening online and calling to ask a question, please mute your computer first. The number to call in is 646-381-4198. We have a fantastic show for you today. Our topic is the foundations of good decisions is accurate information. And as I said, our guest is Heather Smith, who joins us from Brisbane, Australia. And I'm so grateful to her for getting up early in the morning so that she can share her information and knowledge with you. Let me introduce her to you. As I said, she's worked with hundreds of small businesses over the years, and using forensic science and accounting has identified errors in excess of $250,000. She's here today to highlight issues she sees in many small business accounting systems. Heather Smith is living the social media dream. Through her use of social media, she was asked to write her first book, Learn MYOB in 7 Days, and is currently writing her second small business book. Heather is a chartered accountant, author, and business consultant. Welcome, Heather, and thank you for joining us so early in the morning. I've mentioned it a few times. I'm really grateful you joined us today.
Thank you, Yvonne, so much for having me on your show. I've been listening to all your other episodes, and the other guests are of such a high caliber and have been so impressive. I hope I live up to all the other guests that you've been having on the show.
I'm sure you will. I'd like to begin by finding out about your client who took a holiday. And he said while he was sunning himself on the deck of a cruise ship, no less, he realized that his accounts must be wrong. How's that?
Yes, Yvonne. Well, this is a really interesting one that I talk to a lot of people about, because a lot of people kind of go through and they think everything's okay, and they think everything's okay, and they just kind of ignore their accounts. So what had happened with this guy is he had put up the barriers. He'd said, I run the business, but I don't understand numbers, so I'm not going to look at the numbers. And I don't understand numbers, so I'm not going to look at the numbers. And just put up these roadblocks that he wasn't going to look at his own numbers. He had numerous businesses, and one of them was making quite a significant loss. He went on holiday for about 6 weeks, sunning himself on the deck of the cruise ship, and he sat there and he was working through this business in his head. And he suddenly sort of came to the realization that he couldn't understand why it would be making a loss. He was buying the product cheaply. He was selling it expensively. Why should he be making a loss? So he got back, called me up. I came in, I sat down, I went through his accounts for about 2 weeks, and I realized that he had been paying someone to come in and do his books. But unfortunately, as I sort of come across a little bit, is that she'd been making errors in his books. And she had put the purchase price of what he was purchasing this item in as the sale price. So the purchase price and the sales price of this particular item that he was selling in this business were exactly the same. And in the end, we worked out that his business that appeared to be making an $80,000 loss was actually, in fact, making a $160,000 profit.
Good
so not
grief.
Only did he have the good news that his business was making a massive profit, he had the bad news that his accounts had been incorrect for the past 2 years. Now, in some respects, it was the person who was entering the data who was doing it incorrectly. However, as a business owner, or when you're in a position of responsibility in a business, you have to take responsibility over the numbers. And he should really have realized within the first few months that there was something wrong. Instead, without the numbers in front of him, without the business in front of him, on a cruise ship in the middle of nowhere, he realized there was something wrong. And what this says to me is that anyone can understand their numbers. They just kind of have to sit down and they just have to take the time. And whether you're in life or whether you're running a business, you have things that you like to do and you have things that you don't like to do. But just because you don't like to do them, and some people don't like to look at their numbers, you still have to look at them. And if you're going to make decisions, because he was actually going to just shut that business down, stop buying the stuff and just write everything off. But to make that decision... Yeah, to make that decision based on the information he had in front of him would have been absolutely incorrect. So instead, he had the option of continuing the business, which was making $160,000 profit, or he had the option of selling the business and again making a significant profit. If he had listened to what he had in front of him, he would have made no money whatsoever and he would have written it off as a loss. And of course, the other thing on top of that is he had to go back over 2 years and redo all of his accounts and have all the expense associated with redoing his accounts, which was a bit of a nightmare.
My goodness. So that's probably why we should know about chart of accounts. What's the importance of a chart of accounts?
Well, one of the things that I try and get people to do when I first go into them, if they're not understanding their numbers, I try to work with their chart of accounts so we can organize and structure it in such a way that they will actually use it and understand it. Now, when it comes to your chart of accounts, typically whatever system you're using, whether you're doing it for your personal bookkeeping or for your business bookkeeping, you can look at it at numerous levels. So I always say to people, set it up like it's a map. You know when you look at a Google map and you're in your helicopter? Your helicopter is up high above the Google map, and you look down over it, and if you see a fire or if you see an issue, then you drill down, you hover down, and you go down further to see the information. So, and see what the issue is. So like a fire, you would go down and see further what is the issue with the fire. I say this because I want you to look at a summarized top-level view, so you're not getting confused with all of the information that has been presented to you with in a chart of accounts. I visited one client and he had, as an example, his chart of account was one line income, consulting income, $2 million. Then underneath that, he had 300 expenses listed. And if I went and looked at his expenses, one of his lines of expenses was flowers for the office, $300. So it was you can imagine, you're not getting any information from that. The income, he's only got one line of income. The expenses, he's got 300 lines of expenses. He can't manage that. What he needed to do and what we did with him was we split out the income into five levels of income, five different types of income, not levels, five different types of income, and we reduced the expenses to about 50 lines of expenses because no one can manage a business by knowing how much money they've spent on flowers on the business. They need to understand where the income's coming from. And what we identified with this client, which was quite interesting, was for one of his clients, he offered a service, like a 24-hour service, on-site service to them. And he was like a backup service to the contract that he did with them. And I said to him, well, why don't you offer that with all of your clients? And he goes, yeah, I guess we should. And so he was actually able, by looking at the income he was generating, he was actually able to identify where he was making the income and then apply that to other clients. Oh, if I can earn income there with one client, maybe I can earn it there with another client. And he was able to increase his income just by understanding what his income was. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, and that is so important because you can't manage something that's 300. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's,
and
as you said, it also revealed opportunities for this man.
Absolutely. It reveals opportunities, and also by going down and splitting out and defining it, I tell my clients what I really want them to do is have a really clear idea what their gross profit is. Now, the gross profit is the sales less the cost of producing that sale item plus freight. So you have a really clear idea what the actual gross product is per product or per service that you offer. I did this with another client, and she realized one of the services, which was only very, very small, that she was offering, she was earning a 90% gross profit from, which was just a huge amount. So you know what she did? Obviously, she spent a lot of time promoting that product. She took her bottom line profit from $70,000 to $250,000 because she recognized in one particular area, she was making a huge gross profit, and it's identifying that. So you have your levels of profit. You have your gross profit, and underneath your gross profit, you take away all of your fixed costs, which then leaves you with your net profit. So sometimes people just look at the bottom profit figure, but you really need to understand what is the gross profit from what I am doing. Does that make
sense? Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So how do you ensure your transactions are complete?
Okay. How do you ensure your transactions are complete? This is really an important area. What you need to do is make sure that everything is actually included in the chart of accounts. All of your bank statements are included in the chart of accounts. And if you are operating a business, that you're not running personal expenses through the business and you are running everything against the actual business bank statements, trying very hard. So I typically see businesses and they've got one to maybe six business bank accounts and they will also have credit card accounts. And all of those need to be listed in their chart of accounts. And you need to be reconciling. The key thing is reconciling. So making sure that everything that actually happened is actually being recorded in your business accounts information and that you're doing this on a timely basis. You can't reconcile 3 months down the track. Well, you can, but you forget things. You don't know what things are. You're like, $10,000 left my account. What was that for? I don't know. Oh, okay, well, maybe it was for this, maybe it was for that. I did this with one client. He hadn't reconciled for 2 years. We sat down, we started reconciling. What is this $2,000 that keeps leaving your account? And I kept asking him and kept asking him. In the end, we worked out it was for insurance for a car that he no longer owned, that he hadn't owned for 5 years. But he'd been paying insurance on it because he hadn't been reconciling it. Yes, he fortunately found the emails that he sent to the insurance company that had cancelled it, and he managed to get a huge amount of money back because of that. But because he hadn't been reconciling, because he hadn't been going, this is what's on my bank statement, this is what happened in my accounts, and matching the two up, he had been paying all of this money over the time incorrectly. Reconciling helps you find errors like that. Reconciling also assists you in finding fraud. If people have been frauding you, people who perhaps change the check or grab your Visa card and start using it fraudulently, that's what reconciling will assist you in doing. So your transactions need to be complete by having everything that has happened with the business in the business accounting data file, and by keeping on top of it on a timely basis. And people always go to me, oh, when should I reconcile? Look, if you don't have much time, the minimum should be monthly, but I see a lot of clients doing it daily or doing it weekly, and get your bank statements as often as possible. If anyone receives bank statements on a quarterly basis, please, the only thing you take away from today, change it and get them at least monthly and look at them. This is such important information for your entire life, making sure your business bank accounts are correct.
And so it's probably equally important for that same reason as well to close off and restrict access to the historical periods as well, right? Why is that important?
Absolutely. Well, what you want to do with your accounts is, as you move forward, is once you've gone past the period and once you've submitted your tax returns, you actually want to close that period off and agree off with your tax accountant, and then close it off and not touch it. What I find sometimes is if people haven't properly closed it off and locked it down, it comes January of the new year, and they forget that it's now 2011, and they start typing in 2009, and so it starts messing up all the previous periods. Now, I don't know what it is, but I do see it happen a lot. It must be some sort of mental block that happens in January time. And so then what you have is you don't understand where the entries have gone, so you end up putting them in perhaps twice or three times. So you really need to, once a financial period has been agreed, now this will be through sending it to the tax office or sending it to your tax accountant, once it has been agreed and finalized, close it off so you can't touch it and move forward. And it's only if the accounts would get re-audited that you would actually change them. But, you know, you should be closing them off, moving forward. And that is now a comparative year. Even if you do actually identify an error in it, that is just a note to the report. Don't try and change it. Move forward and restrict access.
Excellent. Now, I'm also curious about protecting yourself. What kind of security should a business have over the accounting system?
Look, there are several things that a business should have over their accounting system. First of all, they should have passwords to access the actual computers, and then they should have a password to access the actual accounting software. I highly encourage, if you have numerous people accessing the accounting software, that each individual person accesses it via their own personal user ID. So whether that be Jan, and then she types in a password, and then Scott, and he types in a password. The reason I say this is it actually protects yourself, because the people who know the software better are going to be able to access and identify who put what transactions in where. So it protects yourself from someone else going in and actually doing something fraudulently, because this does actually happen. And we go along and we sit down at our business accounts thinking that, you know, everyone's going to be honest, but unfortunately they're not. I actually had one awful situation where the bookkeeper was fired, and a week later she broke into the office. She broke into the computer because the computer hadn't changed its password. She broke into the accounting software because they hadn't deleted her user ID. And she went in and she messed around with the software in there and what the data entries was in there. And so you need to, unfortunately, think, plan for the worst and hope for the best. And so you are restricting their access to the passwords, to the data file by using passwords. Now, the other thing I talk about is backup. I'm not sure, Yvonne, whether you saw last Christmas and what happened in Brisbane, Australia. We had terrible floodings in Brisbane, Australia, and literally entire houses were demolished and computers were lost. And this really made me think about things, because areas that had never flooded before were completely two stories underwater. So what I encourage all businesses to do is to back up, which we've been hearing for years, back up. But I'm encouraging businesses now to back up online. I used to back up and have a nice little backup in my cupboard in my office, but if I lose my office through fire or through flooding, I've lost that backup as well. So I encourage people to back up online. I use, and you may have other systems that you recommend to people that you know, but I use a system called Carbonite, which set up took all of probably 5 minutes, and it just does it, and I don't even have to think about it. I did actually have a complete failure of my system and had to restore, and it did restore, and everything came back to me, and I was very, very grateful. And now every time I see someone, I just say, look, you know what we went through in the floods, just install an online backup system so you don't lose that data, because you need that data to go on.
So is that cloud computing? Is it like cloud, using the cloud?
Well, I guess it is in effect. So the way that Carbonite works is, you tell it what areas on your computer you want backed up, and it takes a copy of them and it moves them up into a storage area on its server. And when you look at a file, it has a green dot or a yellow dot on it. And a green dot means it's backed up and everything's okay. And a yellow dot means that it's perhaps you've just recently changed it. So any time you enter change a document and you've recently changed it, it means it hasn't backed up yet, but it will back up. And if it has no dots on it, it means you haven't selected that file to be backed up. And if it's important,
great.
It is a great system. Carbonite is a great system, and it is actually
simple.
Really, really cheap. It's simple, and it's actually cheap. I don't know how it can be so cheap, but it is cheap. So it's. I think mine only costs about. Well, my price would be Australian dollars, and yours would be American dollars. So it is very cheap. So, if there's anything on your computer, any photos on your computer worth saving, then it's worth having that system in place. Yeah.
That's great information. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We have about 6 minutes left. Can you talk just a tad about cloud accounting solutions? Should small business owners use that?
I wanted to mention cloud accounting solutions because people may not be aware of them or unsure of how they happen. What happens with a typical accounting solution, and MYOB has it, Xero, X-E-R-O, Xero has it, SASU, S-A-A-S-U has it, and there are probably some other ones, Quicken has it as well. What happens is you get your bank statement and it feeds, the transactional data feeds directly into your accounting software. So you're not in a position of actually data entering everything. What happens is it feeds directly in. So you wake up in the morning, you log into your accounting software, and the transactional data has fed straight in there. So if you do something on a regular basis, such as purchase petrol, you tell it this is a petrol purchase. this is who I'm purchasing from, and this is where it should be allocated. So the next time it feeds in, it says, oh, this is a petrol purchase, I know this. It then comes up and suggests this should be allocated to petrol. And so rather than doing any data entry, you just come in and click OK or tick a box, and it feeds in automatically. So the first 6 weeks take a while to set everything up in terms of allocating all those typical expenses like bank charges and insurance, etc. But then you wake up in the morning and you've had 5 transactions or 20 transactions, and most of them you just tick, 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 tick. So it massively reduces the data entry time. You still need to check things, but it actually is giving you far more time to actually go and look at your reports, identify who owes you money, chase up people who owe you money, look at your reports, and actually use them to make decisions in your business rather than
Excellent.
Just, especially with the small and the solo business owners, we get bogged down doing the data entry that we never look at the information, the end results. We're just like, data entry. So massive time saver for that. And again, it's online, so again, it's getting backed up.
That's wonderful. Do you have any closing comments? How can people reach you?
Thank you, Yvonne. Well, I'm a Twitter addict, so people can reach me at Twitter handle Heather, H-E-A-T-H-E-R, Smith, A-U. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Heather Smiths out there, so I had to put the A-U on the end of Heather Smith, A-U. And I'm very active on LinkedIn. I write a lot of articles about LinkedIn. And if they want to email me, heather@aniseconsulting.com. I actually, using remote software access, consult clients all over the world, and I can just log into their computer and help and talk to them about their accounts. So I lead a very interesting life from my little house in Brisbane.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for the wonderful interview, Heather. And thanks to all of you listening to the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois, and I'll see you next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I'll leave you with this thought for the day. Never let anyone tell you no who does not have the power to say yes. That quotation is by Eleanor Roosevelt. Remember to always join us on the second Saturday of the month. And in the meantime, visit us online at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown to share your comments about today's show. While you're there, become a friend of the show and use the comment box to provide us with some feedback about today's show. I really, really appreciate all of the time you took and the effort and the knowledge you shared with us today, Heather, and I want to thank everyone who listened in today. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Yvonne. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
Thank you for joining us today. If you have a topic that you would like to learn more about, please send it to me at yvonne@yvonnefbrown.com. You may also use the contact page at www.yvonnefbrown.com, yvonnefbrown.com, to share your comments about today's program or to ask me a question. Until next time, this is Yvonne Brown saying, each day you have the opportunity to get out there on life's playing field or sit on the sidelines. It's always more rewarding to get in the game and play.